Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
I was wondering that when Jesus was on the earth 2,000 years ago, and we read the history books and we read the Bible, that he began to kind of teach. And when he taught, he didn't teach as one of the Pharisees or the religious people of the day. He taught as one that had authority. There was something about him. He was anointed by God. Something attractive about the Holy Spirit upon your life. Makes you a little bit different. It puts an edge in your life. Then he went about doing good, healing people, setting people free, answering questions. Didn't tolerate any of the religious jargon of the day. But what's interesting is that as he began to walk around, as he began to get on with his life, that people attached themselves to him. There were people that left their businesses to follow after him. There was Peter, there was John. There was others that kind of, that were busy in their life, but they began to follow after Jesus. And I wonder why they did that. Why did they kind of, some cases, leave all to follow him? What inspired the disciples to be followers of Jesus? And I just believe it's simply this, that God had touched their life and they wanted to follow him. All around this auditorium, God has touched so many lives. You know the touch of God upon your life, or you will know the touch of God upon your life. And even tonight, that something may have happened in your life where you just think, man, something has touched me. Something has shifting on the inside of me. And you kind of think that when God has touched your life and you want to follow after him, is there a process? What begins to happen in your life once you've kind of experienced something of God? Because I just think if we don't get an idea of, you know, what the process is, sometimes we can just say, oh, well, God touched my life, and we kind of do nothing with it. But I believe that once God touches your life, things begin to change and there's a process that begins to happen. And if we become aware of that, man, I believe that we can see things progress within our life where God can take us on, that we can get to know him more and more. I want to refer tonight to a scripture portion that's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. And you might say, what are we going back to the Old Testament? I believe the Old Testament was written so that we can learn and receive instruction for New Testament believers. It was written for our instruction, that we may be encouraged and also that we may be warned from those who made the wrong mistakes. So we pick it up in 1 Kings 19, and where this kind of picks the story up, who's ever heard of Elijah? Yeah. Called fire down from heaven, destroyed the prophets of Baal and caused a revival in Israel. And when the wicked queen Jezebel heard about it, she put a kind of, I'm going to get you, Elijah. I'm going to kill you. So Elijah does a runner. But on his run, trying to get his head sorted out, he has a revelation from God. And God tells him what to do. He says, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to go and anoint Hazael, king over Syria. I want you to anoint Jehu, king over Israel. And I want you to anoint Elijah in your place. Now, let me read this scripture, and it's on the board. 1 Kings 19 and verse 19 to 21. So he's got that instruction. Then it says this. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Is anybody here by the name of Shaphat? Not tonight. Okay, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was on the 12th. You know what that means? There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had 12 yoke of oxen. He was on the 12th. Man, he had a good view of backsides. But he was up there plowing. And then the word of God says, then Elijah passed by. Gone a bit too far. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. And he said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he said to him, this is what Elijah said, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. You see, when Elijah walked past him, he threw his mantle on him. And it wasn't just, I'm going to throw a coat at you, it was the mantle that was on Elijah's life came upon Elisha. And it didn't mean that immediately that Elisha was going to be a great prophet. No, God had touched his life, and now he was on a journey to see the destiny of God at work within his life. And I want to suggest tonight that as God has touched your life, you've just started on a journey that God wants to do something amazing in your life, that he can see the destiny that he has planned for you before the creation of the world to become a reality in your life. So something had been deposited in his life. And Elisha wanted to experience to its full expression. So what's Elisha do? He doesn't sit back and say, oh wow, one day I'm going to be a prophet. No, he goes on a journey of being a disciple. Everyone say disciple. A disciple who is a follower. He is a learner. And I just want to suggest to you today, you know, that I've been a Christian for a long time, probably not as long as some of you, and that doesn't make me any better, but it puts me down the track a little bit. But I want to tell you this, that you never stop being a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. There's always something for you to learn. There's always something that you can, you know, to observe in people's lives. And here we see that Elijah followed Elijah, and he learns, he looks, he serves. And there's something that happens in his life that there begins to be tipping points where he goes on and experiences more of the goodness of God. Now, let me share with you a couple of things and then we're going to close. Does that sound good? Now, the story kind of changes a little bit because Elisha follows Elijah. And if you're taking notes, you can write down 2 Kings chapter 2 and verses 1-15, because Elijah and Elisha are together for a while, and then it's almost time for Elijah to go to heaven. It's time for him to move on from this dimension into the heavenly realm. It's time for his time on earth to end. And he goes on the journey. And I just want to jump straight into this and talk about six stages of discipleship that will happen in your life. I don't know how long it takes, but it's just stages that you go through for you to move into what God has ultimately got for you. Now, listen to me. At every stage of your life, God is with you and God is using you. Yeah. Are we hearing that today? Yeah. That every stage of your life, God's with you and he is working in and through your life. Point number one. We must make a choice to do something that moves you forward. Are you hearing me today? You must make a choice, a decision to do something that drives you forward. And in verse 1, it says this of 1 Kings chapter 2, it says this, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven, like we said, by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. You might say, what is the significance of Gilgal? What is the type there? Gilgal is a place of circles. Whoever gets sick of going round circles. It's the same thing, same problems, same sins, same kind of everything. It was just like when Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. It just says they went around and around in the wilderness for 40 years and didn't move forward. And today, you know, for you to take on discipleship and to move forward in God, you've got to make a decision that, man, I want to get out of the place of circles and I want to see the strength of God. I want to see the destiny of God. I want to move through the stuff that's holding me back. And it's not so much it's going to happen overnight, but I want to begin the journey of from going round in circles and move forward. So Gilgal means you're breaking the circles and you're consecrating yourself to the plan and the purpose of God. Some people say, is discipleship optional? Can I be saved and not be a disciple? It's an interesting question. I'm not going to judge you, but I tell you what, I just don't want to be saved. I want to move forward in my salvation. Because I am saved, I will be saved, and salvation is ongoing and progressive within our life. So I want to know something that of this deposit that God's placed with me, I want to see it outworked. And to be honest with you, in the years I've been walking with God, I tell you what, it doesn't get stale. It gets better and better. You just kind of think, I've got this in a box now. Then a new dimension of life begins to open up. It's never ending. Man, in the front row here with the beard and the good looking man, hey, the journey's just begun. Wish I could grow a beard. Actually, just wish I could grow hair. You see, circles is the same thing, thinking the same thing, expecting that something different will happen. If you want something different to happen, you've got to make a choice to make those things happen. Yeah. You know, insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Think about it. And as you allow the Word of God to get into your heart, your mind and your heart, and as you get into fellowship and as you worship, things begin to shift within your soul and you're just thinking, man, things are beginning to change here. I just want to encourage you, it's not a bad thing if you're changing for the good. Yeah. It's not a bad thing if your desires are changing more for the things of God. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. There's a transformation begin to happen within your life. Man, the new creation on the inside of you is beginning to come out. Yeah. So stop procrastinating, going in circles. I'll go around the mountain one more time. Good luck. The greatest compliment that anyone can pay to you, you've changed. Well, the good that is. Let's go on next. So he's broke out of Gilgal. Verse 2, then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, I'm coming too. Hey, every stage of your growth and development, listen to me, look at me, it's your choice. It's your choice. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, this is what you got to do. So it's always got to be your choice that I want to follow after God. And you can settle at every level that you want and no doubt you'll go to heaven. But if you want to unpack this glorious life that God's got for you, man, we just got to keep following God. Yeah. Keep walking the path. Keep on making the changes. Keep on moving forward. So they break out of procrastination. They broke it and they consecrate themselves to go on the move. And they come to Bethel. What is Bethel? You know what Bethel is. Bethel is the house of God. Yeah. What happens in the house of God? Interesting. The house of God is the church of Jesus Christ, about how we involve ourselves in God's house, learning to live in the presence and the anointing of God. It's in Bethel, in the house of God, that you receive an anointing from the Holy Spirit. And I just know in my time, you know, as I've decided to move forward in God, I began to seek God. I get involved in His house. I become a worshiper. I begin to fast. I begin to seek after the presence of God. And God begins to, you know, deposit within your life a great anointing, a great empowerment. That kind of wants you, man, I just know now there's something more. I've accepted the Lord, I've moved out of the circus, I've consecrated myself to God, dedicated myself to God. Now I'm in His house and I'm loving worshiping Him. I'm starting to fast, I'm starting to, you know, seek after God, start to seek the anointing of God.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.